This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
God is good, isn't He? Much better than what we deserve often, many a times. We have trials and tribulations. We live in a strange world today. I'll say that. Get your Bibles out this morning, if you will, and get everyone kind of settled in here and there. And let's get our Bibles out to 1 Thessalonians. When you get there, we're going to turn to the 5th chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And as always, in our opening text, I'd ask you to please stand when you get there as we honor the reading of the Word of God. I did not bring a handkerchief this morning. I would borrow some of somebody's, but I don't think it'd be clean. Amen. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. And just by way of introduction and context, drawing into what we want to bring to the table today, again, we live in a world, we live in a strange world, guys, and really and truly, I think as believers in Christ, we need to try to bring some sanity into an insane world. How can we have sanity in our life, living in really and truly in an insane world many a times? And if you look at the world today and the way it operates and functions and the way the decisions are made and things are said, things are done, it just seems a bit crazy at times. It just literally seems to be insane. So 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, beginning in verse 6 with me, the Bible says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober." It says, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace. Watch this now. And be at peace among yourselves. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glorious day you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity and time to be here. Thank you, Lord, to be together one with another this morning. And I pray from the bottom of the depths of my hearts today that, Father, you would intervene in our lives, that you would make a great change and a great difference in our walk today with you, that we may be pleasing in thy sight. Father, we may find favor amongst men by doing things that are pleasing to you and you alone. Father, I pray today that those which are here, those which hear this message, Father, they hear the words of Christ and the words of God being spoken. I pray today that you would move them, and as we just heard in the wonderful hymn, draw them nearer, O Lord. Draw them nearer unto Thee, Father, we ask. In Christ's most precious name, I ask these things today. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. It is easy today to be distracted in the world that we live in. It's easy to be distracted from the things that are going on in the world. I mean, it doesn't take a very in-depth search on the internet to find out there's just some crazy things that are going on. There's just some crazy things going on in the world today. Most of you all know that we live on what's considered a farm, and we have two long chicken barns that was built back in the early 60s up on the front end of the property that we have. And they're real long barns, and they're real old, but they're up by the road, and we do live in a rural area. But my kids, as of late, like to go up there and meddle through there. I have my hay stored in there, and they like to go in there. They like to fumble around with things, and they're just kids. I did the same thing on my grandparents' barn. I lived in that barn. I would go through stuff, and I'd find things, you know, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years older than me, and I was just fascinated by that stuff. That's just a kid, and I understand those things. But guys, I'm going to say this to you today. The world's different today than it was when I was growing up. Amen. The world's different today than what you were growing up. It's a different world that we live in. And frankly, just to be honest with you, I don't want my kids that far away from me. Somebody say amen to that. We live in a world today that has almost seemingly gone mad. And you can't almost trust anybody in the world that we live in today. We see these accusations that are coming out, be it in college and all this and all the things that are going on in the world today. We are living in a world today that is literally insane. And I mean, it's almost like, frankly, let's just say this. It's almost as if insanity has become the norm. I mean, so many, again, I'm not going to get on this kick today, but there's so much medication being prescribed today in the world. I mean, it's getting to the point where you don't know who's sane and who's not sane. Amen. I mean, you don't even know who people are. I mean, some people may act different and be different today because depending on what pill they took this morning. Amen. Now, I don't like that. And I know some people, you got to take medication. You got to take pain pills and you got to take heart medic. I understand all that. I'm not up here on that kick. But I do believe today that we got to be very careful with where we are. And the Bible tells us to be awake. It says there in verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. What we're seeing that we need to be alert, we need to be awake, we need to be active in our life today of knowing what our surroundings are, knowing what is going on around us, knowing that we today as believers in Christ can have sanity in an insane world. You can have it today, Brother Pete. Don't you believe that this morning? Now I'd love to say that all of this is going on outside churches. I'd love to be able to say that. but I'd be lying to you because we know that it isn't. And there seems to be as much insanity in churches today than there is outside of church. And it just seems as if insanity today has surpassed the days gone by. Well, Lester Orloff said that America is an insane asylum ran by the inmates. Amen. And I believe as the longer I live, the more I see that to be true. So the question that's in the air this morning, the question that should be in your hearts and your mind today, as believers in Christ, how can we have sanity in an insane world? How can we possess that? How can we have it in the life that we want to live in the world today? I want to submit 14 things to you this morning. Now I know that the dangers of teaching and preaching anything more than 3 points. Amen. Most preachers will tell you that in homiletics that any time that when you get to point number 4, they forgot point number 1. Amen. When you get to point number 5, they forgot point number 2. Amen. And I mean, they just do. And the standard today, that was the standard of homiletical preaching 50 years ago. I've read some modern books and modern preachers who would turn what I'm going to tell you this morning into a 14-week outline. Amen. And preach 1 point every day. And there is some truth in that. And there's some good in doing that. But these are going to be quick little what we call popcorn preaching points. Amen. So you say, well, preacher, how do you expect us to remember them? I expect you to get a piece of paper out and a pen and write them down. Amen. That's what I expect you to do if you want to remember the things. I'm giving you the first two out of three forms of total recall. I'm going to read it to you so you're going to hear it. And I'm going to put it up on that big screen up there so you're going to see it. So it's reading, writing, and repeating. So I didn't give you the middle one. That's in your hands today. But I want to submit to you 14 things today that is needed in every believer's life for you to have sanity in an insane world. First, I want to tell you this in 1 Thessalonians. This is where we're going to stay. You need to have personal relationships with those that you tend to have odds with. Well, that one went over like a cinder block, Brother Coulter, right out. Now, we got 13 more to go, and I've given you the worst one, the one that you didn't want to hear. Amen? The Bible says there in verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Can I say that to you today? That you ought to try to develop a personal relationship with those that you just tend to have odds with? I'm not talking about... Listen, this is a church message. This is a sermon this morning for those that believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that attend church, those that are in church, those that are in... This is for everybody within these four walls. And anybody that hears this today can have some sanity in an insane world if they'll start to apply these things in their Christian life. Amen. You ought to have personal relationships, those that you tend to have odds with. Those that you just tend to, y'all just don't get along. Amen. Not telling you to go hang out with a bunch of drunkards. Not telling you to go hang out with a bunch of sin. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you there are some people within the body of Christ that you just don't like. And that's just normal because we're all humans. Amen. But you ought to have some kind of personal relationship with them. And I got to say this to you. If you got some kind of personal problem with them, you need to get over it. Praise God. Can I get an amen out of that? You need to get over it, not get under it. You need to get over it. And you need to quit nagging. You need to quit complaining. You need to quit... I told you guys this last week. God killed more people in the Bible for their mouth, amen, than He did anything. Murmuring and complaining and this and that. And I hear stories of people that ain't got over something in 30 and 40 years. My soul, are you kidding me? What a miserable life. I'm 40 years old right now. If I hadn't got over something that happened to me 35 years, what a miserable life, amen. What a Wonderful Life was on last night, amen, with James, what's his face? What's his name? Jimmy Stewart. Yeah, you gotta love that movie. That's a good one. Amen. It's a good, clean movie, I guess it is. I've never watched the thing from start to finish. I've only seen bits and pieces of it, amen. But, you know, what you see is good. I think it's like 6 hours long, so Brother Shirilla would like it, I'm sure. Amen. Anyway, I'm just picking a little bit. He likes those movies that takes 4 years to watch, and I'm telling you, man, I just don't have that. I don't have that kind of attention span. When it comes to watching films, I got the attention span of a ferret. Amen. If that thing doesn't start up and get going and be done with, I'm finished. Amen. I'm picking out a book and I can read a book. But let me say this to you again. If you got some problems with those that name the name of Christ, you need to get over it. Number one. Number two, you need to have a personal relationship with them. Amen. You say, why, preacher? Because the Bible says so. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, saved or lost. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Now I'm going to tell you, I understand those that are doing wickedness and all that, know not to eat and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I understand all that. There's a time when you remove yourself and you separate from those that are outwardly sinning and those that have denied the name of Christ. I understand all that. But guys, I'm talking about everyday church-going Christians, people that you see on a weekly basis. Man, you ought to just try to develop a friendship with them, a relationship with them. There is no excuse for anybody in here not to be able to have a relationship one with another. Do you know why most people won't have a relationship? They say, well, I'm just not the kind of person to go up and talk to somebody. Well, do it anyway. Amen. Do you think I was ever the kind of person to get in front of a crowd and speak or preach? No, not at all. Not whatsoever. Amen. I'll tell you this right now. I was never one to street preach, but I did it anyway. Amen. On the corner of 4th and Union, about hundreds of people on every block, everybody on demand. All of a sudden, I step up and start preaching a mess. Are you crazy? Have you lost your... You're talking about insanity. I mean, I thought I was insane for considering it, amen. But you do it anyway, and you'll see the fruit to come. Why? You just do it because the Lord said do it, amen. Do it because the Lord said do it. Second, let me say this to you. We need to practice rejoicing in the Lord, regardless of the circumstances in our life. The next verse there, in verse 16, the Bible says, rejoice evermore. He didn't say rejoice when things are going great. He didn't say rejoice on the sunny days. He said rejoice evermore. David said, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hey, there's some bad things that happen to good people, praise the Lord. There's some days that just don't go the way you want them to go, praise God. There's some times at church when, hey, you know what? It feels like the spirit is dead, it's 4 a.m., but you know what? You got to go on anyway. You got to sing the songs anyway. You need to pray anyway. The Bible says rejoice evermore. I'm going to tell you this morning, despite whatever may be going on, I'm thankful today that we got a house of God to come and witness in and worship in, praise the Lord, and praise His name, and pray. I'm glad that we have it. I'm going to rejoice over it, praise God. He said, rejoice evermore. We ought to practice rejoicing in the Lord despite our circumstances of life. I'll tell you another one, guys, that need to pray daily. And you need to pray diligently. Amen. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. James said over there in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I'm going to say this to you here about praying without ceasing. Now, guys, you have your own type of prayer life. We've heard in our Sunday school on Daniel, how Daniel continued to pray. He prayed when he was a young boy. He prayed when he was a middle-aged man. He prayed when he was an old man. He got thrown in the lion's den. I bet you $100 if it was due the time for his evening prayers when he was thrown in that lion's den, he prayed as he did aforetime. He didn't pray because he was thrown in the lion's den. That's where we find that our greatest prayer times is in problem times. And it shouldn't be that way. You want to have sanity in an insane world, you've got to pray daily and you got to pray diligently. The fervent prayer. That word fervent means heated. It means hot. I'm going to tell you something. When I was a very young pastor, been a pastor for 6 months, back in my 20s, amen, I locked on to a guy's rib at the altar one time down in Birmingham, Alabama. I locked on to his rib and he prayed over me. And I'm going to tell you right now, it was fervent prayer. I felt, and you said, well, you're getting Pentecostal. Well, call it what it is. Something went through me that day, praise God. Something got a hold of me, amen. Something got a hold of me and I was able to look past my own faults. I was able to look past the false accusations. I was able to look past problems that he didn't know about it. Nobody knew about it. But I was able to get past myself, get over other things, get over situations, and praise God, I'm going to preach. If there's 5,000 or 5,000, I'm going to preach the way God wants me to preach. And I'm telling you, I locked on at that altar, and that's what you need today. Amen. Pray without ceasing. I mean, fervent prayer, praise God. Ah, boy, I tell you, ain't nothing like a good prayer meeting with God. There ain't nothing like it locking on to somebody who's got a hold of lock on God. Let me say something else to you in verse 18. The Bible tells us there, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Friend, you know what we need to do? We need to praise and thank God. We need to praise and have thanksgiving and gratitude unto Him despite circumstances of our life. Amen? Despite what... Hey, I heard Brother Josh when he hit that verse over here and when him and Lois were singing. And he said over there, it says, thy will lost in the vine. That's the will of God toward us, that we give thanks for everything. You know what just flabbergasted me? What story in the Bible is Job? He lost it all, friend. He lost his children. He lost his finances. He lost, man, he lost what he, considerably, he lost his future. Family, finances, and future. Lost it all. The Lord left him with his wife. And she's wearing him out. Amen. She's cursed God to die. I mean, thank you. Well, I appreciate the uplifting, you know, praise the Lord for that. Lost it all. And he said, naked I came out the womb, naked I go. Amen. Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. He thanked God for all the things that he had. And for who? Paul said over there, Paul, this great man of God. He said, I count it all but dung. He said, I suffer loss of all things. He lost his family, friend. He went down to Tarsus for 8 to 10 years prior to getting onto the mission field. As God had instructed, he was 15 days with Peter. He was 3 years in Damascus saved, 15 days with Peter in Jerusalem. And Peter said, you got to get out of Jerusalem. They're going to kill you and they're going to kill everybody. God told me you need to go down to Tarsus. He had to go down there and learn how to work with loss. Amen. He went down there. He lost his family down there. His family disowned him. He ate and witnessed and worked with all these Gentiles that the Jews have nothing to do with, being the minister unto the Gentiles, not even on the mission field yet. And he went down there. His mama and his daddy disowned him, said, we'll have nothing to do with you. He was whooped and beaten by his own countrymen. The Bible tells us he was whooped 5 times for 40 stripes, save one. He got 5 times, 39 stripes by his own people. Amen. And you know what he said about his family? He said, I killed it all but dung. I may win Christ Jesus our Lord. He lost his mama in the world, but he got him a mama in Christ. I'm convinced in Romans chapter 16 when he says, greet Rufus and his mother and mine. I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt today that old Simon Cyrenian, the only time the name Rufus is mentioned is over there in the book of Mark where John Mark knew who he was. Simon of Cyrenian, that businessman traveling through Jerusalem that day that Jesus Christ was crucified. I believe that God ordained that. He grabbed, that Roman soldier grabbed a hold of him and compelled him to carry the cross of Christ. Simon witnessed what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ that day. He went home to Cyrene, told his family about it. I believe his family got saved. Alexander, his son, Rufus, the other one. I believe mama got saved. Praise the Lord. And I believe God prepared that day a replacement mama, praise the Lord, a replacement mother for the Apostle Paul, the minister of the Gentiles, those that turned the world upside down. That's my God. Amen. Paul said, I counted all the loss. Paul lost his finance. Every amount of money that he had acquired, everything that he had acquired in the Jewish religion, everything that he had gained and he had gotten, he counted it all but dung. He lost his future. You're talking about a man who was already the representative of the synagogue of Cilicia there in Jerusalem. And you're talking about a man now, friend, that was well on his way to be the high priest in all of Israel. Not anymore. Not when he met Jesus Christ. You know what he said? I count it all but dung that I may win Christ. Friend, I'm here to tell you this morning that we need to understand that we need to give praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord despite our circumstances. That is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Number 5 today, can I say this to you, especially mamas and daddies? We need to put not out the fire of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says there in verse 19, quench not the Spirit. Now, there's times when kids get on fire with the Lord. They come back from youth camp or they're back there in youth time. They have this time and they're just so thankful for what God has done for them. And they're saying this and that. And mamas and daddies say, that'll wear off. I got a message that I want to re-preach. I haven't preached in several years. And it's titled this, What Happens When the New Wears Off. Amen. We get it when he's a kid, we got a new toy. Well, it's the best thing in the world. Christmas Day rolled around and we opened that thing up and we took it out. And boy, we played and we roomed and we crashed and we did all this. And by lunchtime, put it over there to the side. The rest of them. New world. Amen. Same thing with bigger toys. I mean, listen, boys never grow up. We just get bigger toys. We know that. We've heard that before. Amen. You get a new car. Boy, it's great. I mean, it's you out there shining it. All this and that. And you pull up to the red light and then there's the newer one. Man, I wish I'd have got that. New wore off. Amen? Same thing happens in the Christian life. old boy gets saved, gets born again, turns away from where they were and who they were, turns on the Lord Jesus, on fire with God, witnessing, testifying, faithful in church, faithful in giving, say faithful in serving. God's got track. If he's got a pocket somewhere, he's got a track in it. He's handing them out to people left and right. Then all of a sudden, new wears off. It's like that new car smell. It wears off. And it makes me wonder, we quench the Holy Spirit. Isn't it the same Spirit of God that saved you, the same one that dwells in you today? Amen. We need to put not out the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit of God in us. That's one way you're going to have sanity in an insane world. Amen. Stay focused on what He's done for you and who He is. Number 6, let me tell you this in verse 20. Verse 20. Despise, not prophesize. Friend, you know what we need to do in our life today? We need to preach and teach the things of the Word of God that we've received. Now, I've harped on that for years here. People, I've told you what worked for Denise and I. Denise, our Monday morning devotions was the Sunday morning message. Amen. And that's what we did for years on end. And until I started pastoring, that's what me and her did. We took our pastor's message, what he preached on Sunday, and then we sat in there, and that was our morning devotion, praise God, and on Tuesday and Wednesday, and so on and so on and so on. I'm telling you, that which you hear from this pulpit, that which is preached and taught to you, you need to go out there and you need to preach it and teach it to others, amen. You need to go out of here with the zeal of what you got a hold of today. You need to go tell other people how they can have sanity in an insane world. And I'm going to tell you this, they're not having any kind of sanity outside of Jesus Christ, amen. They're not going to do it. We talked about this with Darius the king in Daniel chapter 6. The Bible says he wrote a decree at the end of that chapter and told the whole world what Daniel had done and what his God had done. Wrote a decree that the whole world should fear and tremble the God of Daniel, for he's the living God and steadfast forever. He gave a testimony to every nation, every kindred, every language on the face of the planet. Of the living God, the one true God. Should not we do that today? We haven't just witnessed the miracles that God has done. Friend, we've experienced them of Him pulling us out of the mire and pulling us out of the clay and pulling us out of old lives and giving us a new life in Him. Amen. We need to preach and teach the Word of God that we received. You need to prove all things, verse 21. You need to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. You know what? I believe you ought to try the spirits and see which one they're so. You have sanity in an insane world. I'm going to tell you, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Hey, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, amen. There's a spiritual warfare going on. There's a spiritual wickedness in this world today. And I'm telling you right now, we need to prove everything that God has given us with His Word today. And we need to only take that which the Lord would have us to have in the world. Hey, listen. You guys are here in church on Sundays and here on Wednesdays. And you get flyers in the mail just like I get flyers in the mail from every nut house in the world. They call themselves a church. You get stuff from Family Christian Store and Lifeway Christian. We get all of those things. And listen, I'm telling you, there's some good stuff there. You can get some help there. But I'm going to tell you, there's some bad stuff there. And you can get hurt there as well. Amen. And there's casualties in the church houses today. Pray people going off and believing a lie and believing something they ought not believe. And they're believing this because it suits their fancy just a little bit more. And their families are getting hurt, amen. They're getting hurt by false doctrines today. We all have friends that's got caught up in cults, be it a Mormon cult or Catholicism or whatever it may be. We've all got family members that are caught up in wrong things today, emphasizing that which they should not. Friend, we ought to prove all things. Listen, that didn't happen by a coincidence, except only that which is of God. Let me say this to you, number 8. We need to practice separation from the very appearance of anything that hinders you to have fellowship with God. Did y'all catch that one? The Bible tells me there in verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Can I say this to you this morning, friend, that we should abstain, we should practice separation from that which is evil, and we should practice separation from that which is even seemingly sin. Amen, preacher. That was a good place for one. I know we're on number 8, guys. Y'all can remember what I'm saying. They don't go on the board. People ask me, say, preacher, why don't you go to movies? I want to see how well that go over, so they're going to hear me. I'm going to give them time to breathe. All right, you breathing? Okay. I'm going to give you two reasons, main reasons why I don't go to movies. Three reasons. Four reasons. I'll give you four. That's it. Number one, I don't like being in a dark place with people I don't know. I'm going to just tell you that right now. I don't like being in a dark room with people I don't know. And 9 times out of 10, if I'm in a dark place with people I don't know, you know what I'm doing? I'm looking around at them. You know what I'm saying? So that's number one right there. I don't like that. Number two, I can't control what's being said or seen. Amen. You know, we watch movies at the house. We rent movies. We have what's called a clear play. Just in case there's something that should not be in there, it takes it out. Praise the Lord. I don't want to sit there and listen to blasphemy in my God. I don't want to hear perverse words. Amen. I'm not interested in that. So we have, yeah, so those are two, believe it or not, those are two little reasons why I don't go to movies. The two main reasons is I don't want to give my children an appetite this church cannot fulfill. Amen. Okay. But number four, there's a cinema out there. Very rarely do you find cinema. They're just one picture show. That's it. They're all cineplexes now with like 400 movies in there. 12 or 15, I know them exact, but there's a bunch of them, amen? And you know what? There may be a good little old youth or children, Bambi may be showing, amen? Bambi, all right? Let's just say Bambi. I saw Bambi at the drive-in theater when I was a little bitty kid, right across from the Zippy Mart in Adamsville, Alabama. I was about four or five years old. Anyway, I was in that red 64 Ford truck of my dad's. How about that for a memory, amen? I fell asleep. What happened? No, I'm just kidding. There may be a good cartoon that's showing in there that's clean and pure, amen? I wonder if PETA doesn't like Bambi. They don't like it. The daddy got, who got killed, daddy or mama? Mama got killed? Mom, I ruined it for you, Brother Grinder, sorry. Anyway, Bambi may be showing in Cineplex 15. And then the rest of them are rot gut, okay? Now, when I walk out of that theater, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? The people in that theater, they don't know where I'm going. I can't wear a sandwich board saying, I didn't see these, I saw Bambi. Talk about insanity, amen? All right, amen? I'm telling you right now, the devil will orchestrate it to where that person that you witnessed to that morning in the grocery store or in the shopping center or at work, he will orchestrate it that they are there in the parking lot watching you walk out with your bride or walk out of that theater, and he'll put that little bird, a little seed in their ear. Look at, he's telling you about God. I bet he was seeing that movie over there. I mean, it's not too far from the truth nowadays. Amen. People don't have any standards anymore. Amen. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything, Pastor Ellis always taught us. And I'm telling you right now, that's what you see today. People wouldn't be surprised. Amen. So I'm just trying to, that's why I don't. I abstain from the slightest chance of the appearance of evil. I don't want to. And I'll watch what I want to watch in my house. Amen. And I still don't watch dirty things. Got no interest in it. And if I can't control it, you say, you're a control freak. Yeah, probably. Amen. I don't want to hear profanity. I don't know about you, but I don't like it. Amen. I don't want to see perverse things. I want the control to block out, because even in movies today that are supposed to be good movies, there's things that should be on there. There's rated G movies today that are cartoons that teach kids to do things they ought not do. I don't think kids ought to belch. Amen. I don't think kids ought to go, I don't think they ought to do that. Amen. I can't stand it. You know, I use that little Nemo clip here. I've spent hours at home trying to cut that thing out. I don't know. I can't do that. I spent hours trying to move that one point so that you'd get the idea that I was teaching about people swimming in their own filth and loving it in the world today. Y'all remember that last year or earlier this year? I spent hours in it. Now, when I took the audio before we put it on the website, I cut that audio out. So no, I just don't think cartoons should teach kids to do those things. I don't think that's amusing. I don't think doing certain bodily functions, I don't think that should be amusing to children. Amen. I just don't think so. I sit at the baseball park all the time, kids doing that, and I get on to them. If their parents don't like it, they can get off my team, amen? Or get off my bench, or get off my bleacher, whatever. Don't come around if you don't like it, amen? You know, if you're going to be around my child and going to do those things, I'm going to correct you. I'll do it with love, and I'll do it with compassion, but I'm still going to correct you because it's the wrong thing to do, amen? We need, and I know I'm chasing a rabbit, praise God, we got 15 more to go, but still, not minutes, but points. Anyway, still, guys, kids ought to be raised to be right. I think Brother Grinder told me yesterday that Miss Beth has always taught the girls that if there's ever a boy out there that won't hold a door for you, he ain't worth talking to. Ain't that true? Amen. Boys, men, you ought to hold doors for the ladies. Amen. You ought to do those things. Well, that's just small. Well, not in today's world, it's not. Amen. Because we live in an insane world. We should abstain from all appearances of evil, my friend. Next, we see there in number 9, we should prefer the interaction of the body, the soul, and the spirit in one another. Look in verse 23. Y'all are hoping it was 29. Anyway. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, what in the world does that mean? You know, we know the soul is saved. Amen. We know that. We know the spirit is saved. The Spirit is what gives us life. It goes back to God. The soul is what is eternal, which is ours. We know that is. The Bible tells us over there in 1 Corinthians 3, when they stand at the judgment seat, that the Spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord. That's in 1 Corinthians 5. But they will be saved, even if they suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ, they'll be saved so as by fire. So we know the soul and the Spirit. We know that that thing is saved. Somebody say amen to that. What about the body? Paul says, I pray, I want it to be preserved, blameless. We need to feed our body in the same way that we feed our soul and our spirit. And we should feed it with doing good things, doing right, saying right things, listening to right things, looking at right things, so that even our body can be preserved blameless. Amen. You know, if somebody says something about you, I quizzed my children this the other day. I said, if somebody came up to you at the ballpark or wherever and said your daddy lied, I said, what would you say? I said, I'd say they're a liar. I said, why? He said, because you don't lie. I said, well, praise God. Now, that's just one little thing. What I'm trying to tell you, what he's telling us in this is that our body, our soul, and our spirit should dwell together in fellowship. We should feed these things the Word of God, but we should practice these things in the flesh. Amen, amen, amen. That's how you can have sanity in the insane world. Look at number 10. We're almost done. We're getting close to it here. In verse 24, the Bible tells us, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You know what we ought to have? I told you about having a personal relationship with those that you're at odds with. But we ought to have a personal relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy. We ought to have a personal relationship with the eternal Godhead today. You know, we ought to seek, and it's just by coincidence, I'm sure, amen, that Josh and Lois sang, draw me nearer, amen. We ought to try to get close to God as we humanly can on this side of glory. What about number 11, verse 25? Paul says, brethren, pray for us. Do you know how to have sanity in a Christian life today in an insane world that we live in? Pray for other people. Well, we got that prayer list, man. I don't know about you. I'm just tickled pink with that thing. I love looking at that list in the morning time and going through those prayers and thinking on our people and praying for our people. I'm telling you, that is a way to get personally involved in people's lives and pray for their needs. Amen. And boy, we've seen things happening here. We've seen people heal. We've seen people come through sicknesses and surgeries and recovery. We've seen those things happen. And I believe it's the will of God. And I believe it's because of the prayer of people one for another. Amen. Number 12. Verse 26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Friend, we ought to have a personal relationship with believers. We ought to have a personal relationship with believers. I think we ought to be kind with one another. I think we ought to shake one another's hands or hug one another's neck. I think we ought to have a personal relationship with one another. We should know one another, amen. Now, I realize in real large churches, you can't do that. I know that. I know in a smaller church such as ours, you can. You can do that. But you know what, guys? We ought to strive to have personal relationships one with another. Get to know each other. We have this fellowship time back here, guys, for one purpose, one main purpose, for fellowship. We have it so we can come together and we can eat with one another. We can fellowship with one another and we can get to know one another. We have functions in here like the Christmas party and the fall fest and all these different things so we can come together. We can fellowship and let our hair down and just relax and have a good time, but so that we can have a relationship with each one of us. Number 13. Verse 27 says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. I tell you this, how to have sanity in an insane world is public and personal reading of the Word of God. We live in a world today that has gone so crazy, that is so mad, that people are afraid to take their Bible out of their bag or out of their car or out of their truck and take it into a restaurant and read it. They're afraid to do it. Kids are afraid to take it to school today because we've been moved so far away from the central line that Christ would have us to be. We've been moved away from it. And I say this to you today concerning that. Just do what's right in the eyes of God. We talked about Daniel again in Sunday school. Daniel had always prayed that way. The decree was written. He just continued to do what he always did. Don't do it because you're told not to. Do it because it's right. Public reading of the Word of God. Private and personal reading of the Word of God. And lastly, guys, to have sanity in an insane world, and I believe it's the last one because it ties all of the other ones together, is you got to have peace from the grace of God. Verse 28 says that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Do you want sanity today in an insane world? You apply these 14 principles. They're very simple. But start with the very first one. Develop a personal relationship with those that you're at odds with. And go straight down the line. I promise you this morning. I promise you just as much as I'm standing here. You'll have more sanity. You'll have, in the end, you'll have peace from the grace of God. When you apply these things in your life on an everyday basis. Guys, these are not spiritual applications. These are applied in your physical, temporal, daily life. Abstaining from all appearance of evil. If there's a question mark on it, back off. I'm not saying be legalistic. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying be careful with what you do and where you go. Pray without ceasing and pray for everybody, but have personal relationships one with another and every one of the other ones in between this morning. And you'll have sanity in an insane world, and you'll have mainly peace from the grace of God. That's where sanity comes, even in a world that has just gone plumb insane. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com. Or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 37072.